Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Welcome, Real Life Ministries. We are one church in four campuses, and this weekend, all of our campuses are witnessing what's happening right now. Aren't you guys glad about that? You know, I have to tell you, we started 25 years ago as a church with a couple of families, and to see what God has been doing these last 25 years has been pretty amazing. But I want you to know this is not a story about how God used to work 25 years ago. We are having as many baptisms every single week right now as we have ever had in the history of our church. And God is using you as disciples. Church isn't something you go to. It's something that we are committed to being a part of. And we contribute. We're not consumers. We don't go looking for churches to figure out what they're going to give us. It's we look for churches where Jesus is going to be glorified, where God's word is going to be taught, and where we get to become a community together that are equipped to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time, everywhere we work, live, and play. This is a launching pad, not just a gathering place. And so it's been an amazing ride, and it continues to be so. We are in our series going through the Lord's Prayer right now. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 6. We've been at this the last couple of weeks. And if you've missed any part of this, we have an app. You can go and watch and catch up. I know that sometimes during the summer you might be away on a weekend. You want to get caught up. You want to hear as every part of this series as it goes forward. We're also doing some podcasts based on the questions that you turn in. We have a kind of a prayer ministry going on right now where we are praying for those who text in, and we're getting some questions, and we're doing a podcast. This podcast this last week, based on the questions from last week, It was inspiring to me to be in that podcast. Lance Wigdon, who's been here with us for 25 years, shared some of his story about prayer and what God's done in his life. And it was just, man, it was powerful. So I hope you'll be studying the Word personally, but also diving in with the podcast, keeping up with what's going on even this summer. You know, we started a few weeks ago with an introduction, sort of the big picture of the Lord's Prayer. And not all of our campuses had the same illustration. So because all of our campuses are looking here right now, I want to use an illustration again. And for those of you who are here, great, you get to see it again. For those of you who are not, I really do believe the key to learning is repetition. Here's what we're doing with the Lord's Prayer. First of all, we made this statement. A lot of churches think that it's like a magic formula that you can slap on. If you say the Lord's Prayer, it's this magic formula of words that you don't really need to think about what you're saying. You don't need to really let them impact you. It's just say the words and get what you want. I don't know about you, but I was on a football team that these kids were pagans. I didn't even believe in God when I was on the football team, but we said the Lord's Prayer in the locker room, and what we were really saying is, your will be done, God, which is for us to win. I guarantee you probably the other locker room was praying the same thing. Somebody had to lose. And again, Jesus, when he said pray like this, he meant pray like this. You can pray these words, but understand what they are. You don't just, it's kind of like communion. You don't do communion without pausing and reflecting on it. The Bible says, don't take communion in an unworthy manner. In other words, you know, everybody else is taking it, I'll take it. Everybody says certain words, it does certain things, I'll do it too. No, stop, reflect. It's the same with prayer. Rote words you say are not going to have the power the power words sort of a thing that's going to change things in the direction that you want them to go. But when you really look at these words, Jesus is saying some things and teaching us to pray. And again, it's really important that you understand what Jesus has to say about prayer, because he is God the Son. And he is pretty familiar with what God wants to hear, because he's God. And when he speaks for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So as you go through this, I really do hope you'll catch up, but by watching the other podcast. But I want to use this illustration again. I want to do this a little bit differently, but this is how it works. I want you to imagine before sin hits the world. God created the earth, and it was perfect, and it was good. And God and man walked together in the garden. Man and man walked together. There was no sin, no corruption. But God gave free will to Adam and Eve. And he said, don't eat that tree. The tree of life is available to you. You're going to live forever with me. It's going to be good. You eat of that tree, you will surely die. The enemy comes in and says, you know, God's just trying to keep you down. God's just trying he doesn't really care about your best interests. He doesn't want you to be like him. And you won't die, and you want to be in charge of your own life. You want to decide to have your own authority. Of course, we know what happened. They sinned. And the Bible says that man fell short of the glory of God, that all have sinned and fallen short. There was a chasm, a distance because of sin. We were separated from God because of sin. He's also life. So if it's like if you think about a phone and a phone cord, as long as it's plugged into the source, it will keep running. You pull it out, there's a distance, now it runs on its own batteries until it dies. That's exactly what happened. We said we want to do things our own way, and because of that, the Bible says that we fell short. There's a separation between us and God. Now, God's response to this was to hold the world together, to not destroy it completely. His response to that was, I'm going to let them experience down there what it feels like to be their own gods. Everybody fighting over who's going to be God in a marriage, or who's going to be God in this or that. I'm going to do things my way. God's like, all right. It's just like, have you parents ever said, okay, I'm going to let my kid experience what he thinks he wants, because that's the only way they're going to listen. In effect, that's what God did. Now, the Bible says this, that in the due time, at the exact right time, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son down here. And here's what he did. He sent Jesus down here to deliver a message to us that God wants a real, I, God the Son, have been sent by God the Father. God the Holy Spirit has been working. And you can see that, for instance, in the baptism of Jesus. God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, all working at one time in different ways. You have the Father saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. You have the Son being baptized. And you have the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus like a dove. God was acting, and Jesus lived a perfect life, and then he went to the cross for us. He made a way for us to be up there in relationship with God in eternity. But in the meantime, until he's done with this world, we now, if we receive Jesus, if we're like, Jesus, if you were to look at the Lord's Prayer in reverse, our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive our debtors, and deliver us from evil, right? You could see, we had not done it his way, we had done it our way. We had not chose to accept the food that he gave us. We decided we were going to feed ourselves. We had not forgiven one another, others, and we had broken our relationship with each other, and we had definitely lost to the devil. Jesus conquered the devil, ate the daily bread, and trusted God. Did not, when the devil said, hey, you're hungry, turn these stones into bread. He said, no, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He ate his daily bread by trusting God. He submitted himself to the Lord's will. He lived this perfectly, and then he did that for us. And he says, because of what I just did for you, if you'll trust in me, I'm going to elevate you into the, you can now can pray. You can now pray. And so Jesus says, this is what it's like. I was the one and only son, but I came to make you children of God, my brothers and sisters. So now, rather than me praying, my Father who art in heaven, Jesus said, now guess what? It's our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. He says, now you get to pray because of what I'm about to do for you. And he hadn't even done it yet because he was going to go to the cross. He was able to say, guys, pray like this. You're going to be able to pray like this. Our Father. Not just creation, our Father. You're going to get to pray that. Our Father, who's where? He's in heaven. There's a heaven. There's something beyond this planet. And where is he? He sees the heavenly. He sees the eternal. He's like, our Father, who art in heaven, the one who sees all things, all times, all places. Oh my goodness, hallowed be thy name. When you spend time with the Lord, when you get into, you know, prayer, he says, listen, when you realize who I am, who you are now because of what I did for you, you can now be plugged into relationship with God the Father through Jesus the Son. Now he's our Father. He's in heaven. He's eternal. There's more than I can see. There's more than my boss. There's more than the next president of the United States. There's more than the wars that we have going on and all the problems and all the craziness. Our Father is in heaven. And he's got a big plan, and he's already told us what it is. And this world isn't all there is, so we can say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallowed be your name. Which then leads, as I start to think about walking down there on planet Earth, because I've seen who he is, because the world is what he says it is, not what everybody else, or even what I thought it was. I don't trust in my own understanding anymore. In all my ways, I acknowledge him. Why don't I trust my own understanding anymore? Because I can't see the spiritual. I don't see what decision you're going to make. I can't see all this. I can't see how it plays out. I don't trust that anymore. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Now that's the verse we're going to focus on. Your kingdom come. Now in the next few weeks, it's going to be give us this day our daily bread. So that changes, you know, from worrying about everything and tomorrow. Today is my daily bread. Then he says, forgive me as I forgive others. And now he says, loving God and loving others. It's the whole picture. And then there's a devil down here on planet Earth at work. Deliver me from evil. But as you spend time with the Lord in prayer, prayer is not so much about changing the Lord's mind. It's about discovering his mind. Why? Why would I want to discover his mind? Well, because he knows things. He knows all things. He's all powerful. He knows what he's going to do. Why? I mean, when I think about it this way, I try to do it all the time. I try to convince God to do my will. When you say it like that, doesn't that sound pretty stupid? But don't act like you don't do it too. Why do I want my solution when I have such short-sightedness? When I can't see what's going on beyond, I have so little control. You know, I'm in a box that's so small compared to his, I can only see what's right around me. And so it seems a little silly to me to come up here and say, Lord, give me what I want because I'm right. I know what the world needs. I know what I need. How many of you have ever had kids that were really young but were really sure they thought they knew what they needed? They needed to stay up later. They needed this food instead of that food. They needed that toy. They needed to get close to that fire, to that stove, to that street. They have no clue. God's like, by the way, Isn't it interesting that God calls us sheep, and sheep are the dumbest animals on the planet? Now, he's not saying, listen, he's not saying we're stupid in compared to other people. He's saying we're all stupid in comparison to him. Not stupid, that's not probably not a right word. His ways are not our ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our wisdom is foolishness to him. And what's sad is his ways are often foolishness to us. I mean, that's what he says. My ways are foolishness to you, and your ways are foolishness to me. So the question is, who's right? Well, I think if we really go into the throne room of God and we really start to see who he is, he's in heaven. You read the scriptures. What did he promise? What did he do? When it looked really terrible, did God step in? Could God do this? Could God do that? As you step into who God really is, the world he created, he holds it together. When you step into all that, and you start to think about who he is and that he's our father, that he actually loves us. In fact, if you go into Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6 and 7, he starts to talk about, he knows the very numbers of hairs on your head. It's not just that he's this big, infinite God that is so busy doing everything else that he doesn't know who you are personally. No, Jesus came to declare to us that God knows the numbers of hairs on your head and he wants to be your good father. Sam talked about this, and so did the rest of the guys at all the campuses. They talked about the fact that oftentimes we don't like to use the word father for God because we have had a problem with our earthly father, and we often lay at his feet problems, and kind of a lack of trust because of the fathers we actually had that were human. And I understand that. But here's the deal. The best way to change things is to go, we actually do have a father, and this is what he looks like. And if we're going to start something new, even if I didn't have the father, the kind of father I wanted to have or should have had, I can at least go, there is a father. That's what he looks like. That's who I'm going to worship, and I'm going to let him change my character to look like that rather than reacting or overreacting to what the human father did. I'm going to start spending time with him, and I'm going to let him start something new in my relationship with him that's going to transcend me and it's going to move into my kids. Something new is going to be started because I have a good heavenly father. Now, as you start to unpack this message, there's some things that if we just say this statement, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's some things in that statement, thy kingdom come, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me give you some things that statement's saying that you might miss. Number one, he's actually saying that in heaven, there's a king. I mean, right? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is saying, in heaven, God is Father, but he's saying God is king. Now, some of us like the idea of God being the savior, but we don't like the idea of God being the king. So we want to pray a prayer that Jesus saves me from my sins, but I don't want God to be my king. So my question to you would be, if you don't want God to be your king, then aren't you going to be miserable for eternity? You won't want to be in heaven. Because in heaven, God's going to be the king. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, God's king. And he's going to be king. In the new heaven and the new earth, Jesus is going, God the Son is going to be there with his people, and he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The word Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is a king title. Christ is a king title, Savior, King. They were looking for the descendant of David, who was the king of Israel. In the garden, God was king. Now, he was a good king, and he allowed us to live in the Garden of Eden, and there were so many yeses, there was one no, but we said, no, we don't even want you to have one no. But in heaven, those who are there will have confessed that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, King. So, what Jesus is doing is he's saying, let me tell you what it's going to be like in the future. I'm going to do a little prophecy with you. I'm going to tell you what heaven's going to be like. Those who are in heaven, they're going to have a king. And it's not going to be any of the rest of you. Not going to be me. It's going to be him. So, why would I want that to be okay? Well, because he's my father. And when you look at everything that he did for me, he died. Jesus died for me. God the Father sent the Son for me. That every rule he has ever made is for my good. He's king. And you know what? I'm glad. Because here's his statement. He's like, your kingdom come. See, our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. It's a declaration. Lord, I want your kingdom to come. Why do I want your kingdom to come? Well, because I've seen what it looks like when anybody else is king. I've seen what it looks like when everybody thinks they're king. I've seen what it looks like when I'm king. And I needed to be saved. And I've made a mess. Other people have made messes that have hurt me, and if I'm honest, I've hurt other people too. You're my father. You're my king. So in a sense, hear what he's saying. In the end, Jesus is going to be the king. In heaven. In the new heaven and the new earth. For eternity, those who are there, who are in heaven rather than hell, there is a hell. Who's hell for? Those who have not decided to make God king. God allows us to experience our decisions, and he allows us to learn the lessons from those and decide to come back to him and say, you're the king, and you're the right one for the king. And I can't believe, as king, you don't just throw me away. You give me the option to come back. And it wasn't just that you waited in heaven. I love the story of the prodigal son, where it says that the younger son came and said, give me all my stuff. I want it now. In other words, I wish you were dead. I don't want you to be my boss. And he went away. His father said, okay, I'll give it to you. Is it because he didn't care? No, he loved him so much that he was hoping in giving it to him, he would come to the end of himself and come home. What did the young man do? He went out into the world and he became a mess. And he's like, my father's servants have it better than this. I'm eating pig slop. I've made a huge mess. All these people that I thought were my friends, they weren't. It was so much better at my father's place, and I'm going to go home. But see, there's an added component to that story. See, yes, that story's true spiritually. The prodigal son story is a great story about a father who ran to his son when he saw him coming. But the story of Jesus is even better than that. You see, when the sons weren't coming back, the father sent the son to go get those doggone kids that were in a far land and say, I'm coming to you. Come with me. And so who's hell for? The one who walked away and said, I wish you were dead and I want to do things my own way. He went out into the world, but they didn't just go out in the world and not come home. God sent Jesus after him. And they still wouldn't come home. They rejected him. They rejected everything that God has, his love, his willingness to save, the fact that he was king, and yet he was willing to drop down and become a servant to meet our need. See, hell is for those who refuse to let Jesus be king and savior. So on judgment day, the Lord is just going to say, you chose, I affirm your choice. I don't make you do anything. You're not a puppet. And besides, you won't want to be in heaven anyway, because in heaven, I'm king, and you don't want that. Is this making sense to you? I mean, why would I want you to be miserable, be in a place you don't want to be, following a king that you don't want to follow for all of eternity? You chose. I affirm your choice. I'm like, okay. As you walk through the story, here's what's going on. I mean, big picture. The reason that this person who's in the throne room of God, and by the way, the Bible says that we can come into the very throne room of God through because of Jesus Christ and cry out, Abba, Father. Now, I've seen who you are. I accepted Jesus to get here. That's how I got here. I see how much you love me. I see hallowed be thy name. And there's a repentance in your life. See, the repentance in my life goes like this. Your will be done. See, the Bible says that real faith leads to repentance. Intellectual assent about the facts of who Jesus is doesn't save you. Baptism by itself, getting wet, a ceremony, no. It's repent and be baptized, every one of you. It's repentance. What is repentance? Well, it means that there's a change of heart that leads to a change of action. See, prayer is the way Jesus is talking about it is, as I spend time, the reason I'm in the throne room of God is because God sent Jesus down to get me, and now I see who he is, and I want him to be king, and therefore, as I'm spending time with him, it's not my will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's your will be done. That's a change of heart that leads to a change of action. I want what you want. I want what you want, Lord. I want you to lead my steps. Now, this is why the Bible says very clearly, you will know a tree by its fruit. Good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Now, he's not talking about perfect fruit. None of us have. If I were a lemon tree, I got a whole bunch of nasty tomatoes on there. You might like tomatoes. I don't. But the question is, what is there changing fruit in my life? Is there a process going on in my life? Is there less nasty fruit on there than there used to be? And when there's fruit discovered that isn't right, I'm like, man, that's not who I want to be. When he's talking about repentance, when we're talking about repentance and not my will be done, but your will be done, Lord, it's like, okay, Lord, I want your will in my life, and it's a spirit of repentance rather than an act of repentance. So let me say it to you like this. A lot of us want to believe in what's called an event Christianity. It's an event Christianity. That means that I prayed some prayer at some time, or maybe I got baptized at some time. And so since that box is checked, I have hell insurance, but I get to go live my life any way I want. Because, you know, I'm saved by grace through faith. I'm saved by grace through faith. But Romans chapter 1, verse 5 says that the obedience that comes from faith, the Bible talks about faith, Romans 1, faith leads to obedience, a growing obedience. Real faith actually changes what you do. Now, again, the Bible's very clear. If you claim to be without sin, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. So if you claim you're without sin, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. That's why Paul can say, you know, in Philippians, not that I've already attained it, but forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I push on towards the goal. There's a sanctification process that I'm going through, and that sanctification process reveals that there was a justification that happened in my life. You're declared righteous when you give your life to Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes into your life, and he starts to conform you into the likeness of Christ. And now you are walking with Jesus with a spirit of repentance in your life as the Holy Spirit directs you. The Word of God directs your steps. All scripture is God-breathed. It delivers for us what is the righteousness of God. What does God say is right and wrong? And we're starting this process of a tree that had no good fruit or all bad fruit. As we start to press in and we're abiding in Christ, we bear fruit. The Lord prunes every branch that is not bearing good fruit. And he cuts off the branches that don't bear any. And even the ones who do, he prunes them so that they will bear more fruit. And there's this change and this process going on in our life as we walk with Jesus. But there's been a heart change. I don't know about you, but in my life, before Christ, I loved my sin. I tried to find ways of getting my sin without getting the consequences of sin. I hated the consequences of sin, but I was always trying to figure out, how do I get my sin without getting caught? When Jesus came into my life, when there was this moment of, you are God, Jesus, you are the Son of God. There was something that changed in my life where now I struggle with sin, but I hate it. I'm like, I can't believe I had that thought. What is wrong with me? See, there was a time where I loved it. I loved the sin. I didn't feel one bit bad about it. I would get sorry if I got caught. But now it's like, I don't even like the thought of it. I don't like, I can't believe I blew that. There's a repentance. Not my will, Lord, your will be done. I'm just done with being the king of my own life. And Lord, forgive me for that. See, there's a spirit of repentance in your life that leads you to this place where we're becoming more like Jesus and less like those around us. Like the world. This is what the Lord's Prayer is really all about. It's not about changing God and conforming him to our will. It's not about negotiating with him. Does he want us to bring things to him? Yes, he loves us. Does he want us to rely on him? Yes. Are there times where he'll go, yep, you know what? I can pull off my will with this little thing right here instead of that way. I can do that. And he does. He does bless us. But there are many times where God says, no. The scripture says, if you pray anything in accordance with his will, it will be done for you. Some of you might say, well, wait a minute. Doesn't Jesus say you can ask for anything in my name? And if you do, I will give it to you. Yes, it does say that. But it's built on the passage of scripture just before that that says, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And then you can ask. See, if you're abiding in him, what you pray for is different than what you pray for when you're not abiding in him. You pray for different things when you're soaking in his word, when you're seeing the heavenly perspective, when you remember who he is, what he's done for you. It's hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And I have a need, Lord, and I'm bringing it to you. But listen, if you say no, then that must be what's best for me. If you say yes, I want to give you credit for it, but I'm going to rely upon you. And overall, though, Lord, I know what you want in my life. You want me to become more like Jesus, to be about his business, to live with him and for him, with the body of believers as a part of the mission of God until Jesus returns, to be serving you with everything that I have, to love you with my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, being part of your holy nation, your royal priesthood, your people who belong to you, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Your goal is for us to be connected to you and to one another, and our prayer life is a part of our abiding life when it's done correctly. We're reading his word, and we're praying. And he's speaking to us, and we're speaking to him. And by the way, God's spirit will never contradict his word. When that's happening in our life, it's like, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Your will be done. Where are you at today? Well, I know there are some here who have never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, so I just want to be very clear on this. If you've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, you have no access to the throne room of God. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Christ. The scripture says if you reject Jesus, you've rejected the Father. You don't get to bypass Jesus somehow to get to the Father. But here's what God wants you to know. He sent Jesus. He wants you to know about Jesus. He wants you to trust Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. He wants you to be up here. See, that's the message. Not to go into the world and say, you're all going to hell. No, the message is, everybody was, me too, because of our sin, and God wants to save you. I'm an ambassador, 2 Corinthians 5. I've been reconciled to God by Christ, and I've been given the ministry of reconciliation. I'm begging you on behalf of God, be reconciled to God through Christ. He wants you to have a relationship with him that will last for eternity. For those of us who are Christians, I don't know about you, but I get down here and I start walking, and again, you've heard me say this and say it every week. That last one, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. As soon as I hit the ground out of my prayer time with the Lord, it's like all the distractions, all the stuff, and pretty soon I forget that what I see down here isn't all there is. I forget that, nations have come and gone, and I start watching the news, and I'm just like, I'm lit up, and I'm either angry or afraid. I admit that depending on who's driving next to me and in front of me, I have some thought problems. I admit that I'm prone to wander, and I get down here and the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and so I put Christian music on. I don't need to listen to all my old music because it just takes me to places that I went when I was listening to that. I don't need that in my life. I don't want to go back there. I got to surround myself with things that remind me that he's my Father who is in heaven and his name is great. And when I do his will, there's a battle, yes. And on planet Earth, there's still pains and sorrows, but I'm going to be in heaven someday and he's going to care about me. He cares about me. I can trust him and what it looks like. I got a cancer diagnosis, let's say. And I haven't, but I know people who have. But you know what? That doctor doesn't get to decide. God does. And here's the deal. His view is much bigger than just however many years we have down here. And if I don't remember that, you know, if my loved ones that are far from God right now, maybe my kid who's out there just being so stupid and it just feels like it's all on me because I can't see God working, I think he's not. And I have to go, no, wait a minute. He hears me. He knows me. And I can trust him. And I can't carry the burdens down here, but I bring them to you, Lord. I pray about everything and I bring it to you and I lay it at your feet. And I'm like, okay, God, help me to trust you when I can't see. It's when I spend time with my Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be his name. And I choose to trust. Sometimes it's a choice. Your will be done, not mine. What I want to do is not scriptural. It's not in the scriptures. It's not, no, okay, but that's what I want to do. And I feel it strongly. With every ounce, okay, I choose to trust you. Well, wait, Jim, if you don't feel that way, is it really trust? Well, yeah, because it isn't just what I think, it's what I do. Not trusting him would be to do what I say, what I want to do. Trusting him would be to go, I deny what I want to do and do what you tell me to do. For the man who hears my words and puts them into practice is the man who builds his house on the rock, Jesus said. When the rain comes, when the wind blows, the house on the rock will stand firm. For the man who hears my words and doesn't put them into practice is like a man who builds his house on the sand. When the rain comes, when the wind comes, the house on the sand crashes. Lord, I want to do, that sand looks way better, but I'm going to build on the rock. I'm going to choose to build with that rock. In fact, I love it. I think God loves it when we When we with, it's hard work to reject ourselves in the world and go yes to God. I think he's like, I think I probably act like that better than when, if it would have been easy for you. I'm proud of you. I'm praying that you trust him by choosing to obey him in whatever sphere of life you're struggling in, your home, your work, your church life. You choose to be obedient to what his word says rather than your feelings, rather than the voices in your head. He's spoken in his word. Lord, I trust you. I choose to trust you. Your will be done on earth, in me, right now. You're my king now, not just in the future, right now. In me, you're my king. I'll do what you ask me to do. On earth, in me, right now, I choose. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. You remember that song? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. Help us to trust you. Help us to be obedient to you. I can't control my feelings. Sometimes those are impacted by sleep or lack thereof or food or lack thereof or frustration. I have all these feelings, Lord, but I pray that you help us as Christians not to be ruled by our feelings, our senses, our emotions, but to be obedient to you, Lord Jesus, as you have spoken through your word. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.